Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah. You already know what time it is. It's that official time. Where we take this worldwide. Let's go. Listen. So now it's time to turn it up. Surf the radio waves as we begin to burn it up. We all up in your area like landscape. Definitely bringing you the power slamming pancakes. It's the mandate that you tune in. It's time to move out so we can move in. And recognize that this is no illusion. I'm here to clear the air so that there is no confusion. It all started off in the book of Genesis, when Jacob was wrestling with who he thought was his nemesis. And when the man saw he couldn't overpower him, he touched his hip but he really could have devoured him. And from that point then we hear a name change. Rearrange the game so now we gotta change. So I'm here to let you know it's time to listen to the Pancake and Power Slam Show. Let's go!
Turn it up!
It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up!
It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up!
It's the Pancake and Power Slam Show.
Turn it up!
It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up!
It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up!
It's the Pancake and Power Slam Show.
Turn it up!
Indeed, it is the Pancakes and Power Slam Show. We are once again here live, 115 episodes. Derek, it just gets funner and funner.
115 episodes, are you serious? It just seems like last week was 114. I mean, we just keep growing and growing like the Energizer Bunny, going and going and going and going. You cannot stop us. The new Tuesday Night Titans, Pancakes and Power Slams. Let's get the show started. Let's get it rolling.
Indeed. Derek, I'm gonna test you today. It's time for me to stump Derek. It's a impromptu stump the host that he has absolutely no idea about, and it's going to be absolutely fun. I'm very, very, very excited about it. Derek and I, and I've shared this before, Derek and I used to work together nearly five years ago, and that's when we first met, 5 years ago, and we just in the very beginning of our time working together, we realized that we both had a affinity for wrestling, and that's when I found out that he wrestled in the developmentals for the WWE at the time. And yeah, it was good stuff. And we used to literally we did a remedial, uninspiring call center job. And I kid you not, one thing that we would do for 8 hours a day. Literally, and I kid you not, for 8 hours a day, we sat next to each other, and we would switch trivia questions the entire time, and we never duplicated not one of them, and we would write a page full of trivia questions, pass it to the other person would answer, and then the other person would write a page full of trivia questions and pass it on. And we did that every day, and it was all up top of the head, And that's how much we realized how much we know incredible wrestling knowledge. I mean, I still had some of those trivia questions, and we submitted and we gave each other literally hundreds and hundreds of trivia questions every single day from wrestling. And that was one of the only things that kept us interested in our job at the time, because the job wasn't very inspiring, but at the same time, coming to work knowing that I'm going to be quizzed on wrestling was something I was looking forward to. So it was fun times, and that's why I love wrestling trivia. So does Derek. And that was one thing that really, really kept us going at that job, just quizzing each other literally. And, I kid you not, all day, every day, it was amazing how much, in hindsight, how much wrestling trivia we quizzed each other on, how many questions we just thought about on the top of our head. It was insane.
I still think I hold the championship for that.
You don't. As a matter of fact, I have the I still have the scorecard, and out of it was a very, very high number of time of days that we quiz each other. I think that you only won like 3 days, honestly. I think you won like 3 or 4 times, actually, out of a few. I think it was only like 3 or 4 times that you actually beat me, and all the other times, I mean, you gave valiant efforts. You would get like 2 wrong, and I would get 0 to 1 typically, and there were times that you got beat quite badly, but you know, a number of times you gave a valiant effort, and you showed that you know a lot of wrestling trivia. So I'll give you kudos to that. But, you know, actually, for those who are listening, I sent Derek a picture. I texted him a picture not too long ago of the scorecard that I found in my closet. I found a scorecard of all the days that we took the quiz. And, yeah, it was pretty brutal. And he's in denial. I gave him proof, but, you know, a lot of times when people are in denial and they just don't want to admit the truth, you know, they create their own illusion. And you know, Derek's in his own illusion of beating me, but, you know, I'll let you keep that for now.
Yeah, sure. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah, I mean, that was the only reason we went to that job, pretty much, is just to...
Yeah.
Right,
yeah, sure
wrestling day for 8 hours, but you know, evidently it turned into bigger and better things. So, thank you for that, and for you fabricating the scorecard and making it look.
As a matter of fact, that may be something that I may put on the Crave Wrestling Facebook page. I never thought about that until now, but I think that's a fantastic thing to do, is to put it on the Crave Wrestling Facebook page, the scorecard between Derek and I, and he, you know, it would show that I beat him pretty bad, but I don't know, I don't think I want to embarrass you like that. I mean, you're good, you know, but I'm just better, and it's okay. It's okay, you know, it's okay. You're good, but I'm just better. All right, let's go on to, speaking of trivia questions, let's go ahead and open it up right now. So, Derek, who was originally known as the Living Legend? Who was originally known as the Living Legend? Now, you can pop out any questions that you'd like. Who'd you say?
Bruno Sammartino.
Oh. I told you, listeners, that he's good. That was good. You're correct. Bruno Sammartino was the Living Legend until Larry Zbysko took that title in 1980 when he pulled a heel turn on Sammartino, which is actually probably the best rivalry in 1980. Larry Zbysko had a lot of similarities to Bruno Sammartino, so he was more of a protege, and then they had an exhibition match on, you know, WWE TV at the time, and Sammartino was up on points, and all of a sudden he tried to let Zbysko in, and he rammed him with the knee and hit him with a wooded chair at the time, and the funny part is you totally could see the blade job from Sammartino. It was so obvious, but it was really funny. It was, you know, as far as where it is now to, you know, back then, just the blading was just absolutely horrible and very obvious. However, Flair is probably the best blader that wrestling ever has to offer. You talk about your proverbial crimson mask that Gordon Sully popularized, to the phrase that he popularized, which later was taken and rechristened by Jim Ross. His crimson mask that Sam Martino had, and especially Flair, I mean, he was probably the best bleeder that we've ever seen as far as wrestling is concerned. Did such a fantastic job doing it. Of course, you have your Abdullah the Butchers and your Terry Funks and your Mick Foley's, and you have a lot of people, you know, in that vein. But Flair, what made Flair's bleeding so amazing was he had the blonde hair. He would bleed profusely, and then the next show, his hair would look untouched.
Yeah, I agree. And, I mean, there's a trick and a reason for all that. Ric Flair, probably by far the best. I mean, a guy could just juice like nothing. And it was, you know, I guess maybe it also depends how sweaty you are, too. But some of them can do it great. Some of them, you know, it just looks kind of fake and stupid. I remember, I think it was Steamboat once did it, and it just didn't look right. And but, you know, you either got it or you don't. It's not a very hygienical practice, but, I mean, it really adds drama to the show. It really adds emotion to your thoughts about the wrestler, and it just really, I mean, it does. It brings a lot to a match.
It does, absolutely. And you would know from your previous wrestling experience. Next question, who defeated King Kong Bundy at WrestleMania 2, Derek? Who defeated King Kong Bundy at WrestleMania 2?
Hulk Hogan.
All right, 2 for 2, man. All right, looks like someone's been doing a little bit of research in their record books lately. All right, I'll give you 2 for now. Let's go on to Raw here. Real quick, ROH talk before we run out of time. Jay Briscoe trying to get his real world title back. Actually, Matt Hardy calls it the Iconic title now. And, of course, you have Michael Elgin on his quest to become ROH champion. You have ACH and Tadarius Thomas going at it. Well, ACH is mostly going at it with the decade. And I actually think I am going to submit an article either on the Bleacher Report or WrestlingInc.com about 3 WWE superstars that would bode better in ROH. And Kofi Kingston, I guess I'm gonna spoil it for one. Kofi Kingston is one of those. He needs to be either in ROH or NXT. I think I already said he needs to be. I think I already mentioned NXT, but the guy he's just going nowhere fast. And him with ACH, oh man! I mean, him and ACH, their styles mirror each other so much in ROH, and I'm a big fan of ACH, and I think he has a ton of potential ahead of him. It's just the only problem with that is, and I guess perks or abilities, kind of like a tainted talent, because ACH is so gifted. He's such a high flyer. His little springboard swan dive he does out to the ring is always captivating. I've actually seen him live. And, I mean, he's just amazing. He's an amazing wrestler. But the problem is that if he goes to the WWE, because of his size, because of his stature, he would just be thrown in the cruiserweight pool, and he'll probably be the next victim of Rusev, just to be honest with you. And that's the problem. And if he goes to TNA is such a floundering company that it's sickening almost. And I wrote on Bleacher Report, I wrote on Wrestling.com this weekend, what grade would you give the current TNA product? And I had a ton of responses, a few hundred responses, and the majority grade was a flat-out F. And it's sad to see that, but in most cases it's true. A lot of the reasoning really kind of put some truth in the grade for TNA, and it's really sad. And like I said, I've known some people, you know, in TNA, and I've interviewed people, you know, specifically Crimson, his first interview after his release, and Elijah Burke as well. They both were in TNA. And so, man, I mean, it's really sad to see the number two promotion in the United States just really flounder. And that's why I'm just really interested about Jeff Jarrett's Global Force Wrestling, GFW. I really think that because the anticipation is so high for it to be the number two promotion, for it to be a TNA, I think it would have absolutely no problem soaring past TNA and becoming the number two promotion. Because when Jarrett ran TNA beforehand, I think the innovative style, I think the X division was a really good asset to TNA. The tag team division was a really good asset to TNA. The knockouts division was a really good asset to TNA. Those were three divisions that actually were better than the WWE. And then the biggest criticism I had when Jarrett was over TNA, as far as the control is concerned, it was he booked himself to be champ for way too long and way too many reigns. He understand that he wanted to make a company popular, and both Derek and I have both shared very positive stories about Jeff Jarrett. I mean, I met him in person. He's a really good guy. But at the same time, it's like Jarrett was never really very over. I mean, he had a moment in WCW when he was champ, but at that point in time, WCW was floundering as well. So, I mean, he had the potential to be a top guy, and he showed it when he was with the NWO and he became, you know, world champion. It wasn't a bad, you know, he had like the generic Kid Rock music and the guitar and slap nuts, and it was catchy. It worked, but it just wasn't at a good time. And to book yourself like that, you know, and TNA for that long and those many reigns, it just, you know, we're not in AWA anymore, dude. You know, you're not Greg Gagne. And just kind of hurt the promotion. That was the biggest criticism I had. But, you know, you did bring in Sting, the Stings and the Rhinos and the Christians and, you know, I think, and the Kurt Angles, of course. So it had potential. TNA has potential. Like I said, it's a good talent pool. Just the creative writing is just absolutely horrible. It's just really, 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 really horrible. And we saw the first blood match on Impact Wrestling about EY, Austin Aries, Bully Ray, and Samoa Joe defeating MVP Kenny King, Bobby Lashley, and EC3. Yeah, it's just absolutely horrible. And that's the TNA talk that we'll have for this week in ROH as well. So let's get to Raw. Before we get to Raw, Derek, what year was Bob Backlund's second WWE title reign?
1994.
All right. Wow. All right. Well, looks like Derek, the Pancakes and Power Slams correspondent, is 3 for 3. How about that? That is quite interesting. Now, I'm quite impressed by Derek's trivia skills today. Great job. All right, let's get. Are you touting about your trivia skills here?
I'm always that good. I mean, that's just how it goes.
Oh, okay. Sure thing. Yeah, we'll talk about today, and today you're doing very well. So I'm very impressed. I've got many more for the rest of the show. And chat room, you know, I know we usually have the chat room flooded with answering the questions. You just have to beat them, and it won't count if you don't beat them, actually. So, again, chat room or at Crave Wrestling, tweet in the answers. Feel free to. Derek, if you do not beat the chat room or the submissions via Twitter, it will not count. All right, Triple H and Stephanie McMahon cuts a promo, refers to Dr. Joe Maroon, confirming that Daniel Bryan is not able to compete at Money in the Bank, and Authority strips Daniel Bryan the WWE World Heavyweight Championship. I reported it earlier yesterday on Bleacher Report as a breaking news article, and it got a lot of hits and comments. It was pretty back and forth. But here's the thing, though. I did a poll. I did a poll of who should be the WWE World Heavyweight Championship. I had five options. It was John Cena. It was Kane, Sheamus, Seth Rollins, and the other person was Randy Orton. Overwhelmingly, Seth Rollins won. Now, I'm trending a term now referring to the IWC, those people who, the internet wrestling community, you know, the ones who comment on the chat rooms, the ones who listen, who look at the dirt sheets, the marks. The IWC, for a large portion of the IWC, is what I call microwave marks. Hashtag microwave marks. And what a microwave mark is that someone does not have the patience to appreciate a slow build, like traditional wrestling that really helped characters and really made more poignancy to storylines and had more of an emotional effect or impact on a storyline. It really built wrestlers. It really made people appreciate moments. The art of the slow build, the art of the steady build of creating new superstars and having memorable angles. Now, that's what a traditionalist, as far as wrestling fan, would agree with. Now, you have the people who, you know, are a little bit less of a transitionalist that like newer, you know, the newer age of wrestling where there's a lot of pay-per-views and, you know, there's the builds aren't as slow. You know, those are people who aren't as more traditionalist. Then you have the microwave marks, what I call them. You have the people who they grasp on one person because they're a good wrestler or they're getting very over, and then when they capture the title, they just throw them away like yesterday's news. Now, the problem is these days is the microwave marks is doing the same thing with Daniel Bryan. They did it with Dolph Ziggler a few years ago. A few years before that, they did it with The Miz. And 2010 comes around. The Miz is a big name. You know, he was a heel. He wins the title. You know, he has all this stuff. He was getting an immense amount of cheers against John Cena at 27. 26, I believe. Well, wait, 20. He was at 2011 is when he went against Cena at it was 2010 at 27, and. It was, 2011 was when he went against John Cena, WrestleMania 27. But, yeah, and he was just, he was huge. You know, he was starting to get – people were wondering why in the world the Vince McMahon's what he's seeing the Miz, why is he getting these big old push, end up being the WWE champion, defeating Randy Orton on a Raw, cashing the Money in the Bank, and start to get, you know, rave cheers from the crowd. And then he loses, and he kind of falls down the totem pole, and then all of a sudden you have, you know, yeah, it was WrestleMania 27. And then all of a sudden you have him being a nobody anymore. Dolph Ziggler, same way. You know, just a big, big, big mark. You know, very hype with the crowd, tons and tons of pops. And then he loses and gets his concussion, and he becomes a nobody as well. And now you have the same thing with Daniel Bryan, even to a further degree. I mean, Daniel Bryan had the yes chance. He's an amazing wrestler. I mean, Miz is a decent wrestler, and Dolph Ziggler is good too. But as far as wrestling is concerned, pure wrestling, Daniel Bryan is one of the best in the world. Yes chance, appreciation of coming from the indie circuit. He wins the title. The crowd goes bananas. I still think that the Taker loss hurt Daniel Bryan, but we'll get to that another time. But he wins it. New Orleans goes bananas. And then when he has the title, he's booked terribly. Rivaling with Kane, which is booked terribly because you know Kane's not going to win the title. And so all of a sudden people start to lose interest because of bad booking. It has nothing to do with Daniel Bryan, but it has to do with bad booking. And he gets injured because of busting his butt as a wrestler, you know, giving 100%, 110% every time. And now you have the microwave marks that just want to toss them to the side. I cannot stand those type of fans. It's just ridiculous to me, and people who really don't appreciate the art of professional wrestling. It just boggles my mind, and microwave marks bothers me to no end.
With Daniel Bryan thing, and it's kind of hard to see what's going to go on. I kind of go off of that and say, I kind of thought the Taker losing at WrestleMania kind of ruined the whole show, or anything to come after that. Well, anyone's going to think about it. WrestleMania 30, Undertaker lost. And it won't even be, well, who beat him? It'll just be Undertaker lost. And at WrestleMania, they just that ruined it. And you had Hulk Hogan come out being the host and, you know, getting everyone jacked up for it. And then the Undertaker lost. And, you know, and at the first, people are like, well, you know, it's this, this, and this. And, you know, a couple months later, here we're in June now, no. Undertaker lost. And that was all I'm going to remember from WrestleMania 30.
Yeah. And I definitely think that, yeah, we'll get into that later as far as, yeah, we got to comment in chat room too. Taker loss ruined WrestleMania. I agree, and I remember watching it, and I was just like, yeah, I was so hysterically surprised. I started laughing, and the thing is, I had a good friend with me at the time. I was amidst a bunch of good friends, and one of them was just devastated the entire time. After Taker lost, he was done, and a lot of people I was with was done as well. And I was so surprised that I just started joking about the entire time. It was so funny because all of my friends were just cracking up at the fact that everything that went on for the rest of the night, all roads led back to The Undertaker. And it was hilarious. We would say something random, and I would like do like 6 degrees to The Undertaker. Everything, it was hilarious. And The Undertaker. Well, what about that? Well, The Undertaker would have thought so. It was just hilarious. And I even topped it off by tweeting during WrestleMania, simply Undertaker. And it was hilarious. Everybody started cracking up, laughing, and you know, my dude, he was really distraught, and he was just very, very just devastated the entire time. But I just had to laugh about it, and it's so crazy that especially when we were finding And then especially when it was revealed later, and Ryan and I were talking about this recently, when we reported on wrestling.com that it wasn't necessarily a full-on Taker decision as well. It was, in fact, it was a Vince decision, and he kind of persuaded and manipulated The Undertaker to put Lesnar over. Now, that surprises me to no end. Now, I know that Taker had stroke throughout the years, and there were times that he was reported to lose, and I know that he had an affinity towards Brock Lesnar, but why in the world would Vince McMahon, and I'm a man of forgiveness, I love forgiveness, I think forgiveness is one of the most powerful abilities that anyone could have, and I think everyone should have it. But we're talking about a business standpoint here. Why in the world would you give the Undertaker streak, something that was so precious and so iconic in and of itself? The streak alone was iconic and monumental, and it was just something that should have been enshrined somewhere. Why would you give that to someone who, first of all, has 10 dates a year, less than that, really, but roughly 10 dates a year, gets paid this big old lump sum of money to get 10 dates a year? Obviously, his heart's not in the business as much as it should be. He's still a young guy. He's only 37. And so many years ahead of him as a wrestler, and you get this big old, you know, few date deal, and you have Brock Lesnar beat The Undertaker streak, 22 years of competing at WrestleMania, an entire span of 25 altogether, a quarter of a century span, but he missed a couple. But it's like, are you kidding? 22 years of competing at WrestleMania, you have someone who the booking of it was just incredibly ridiculous. And then you have Brock Lesnar defeating The Undertaker at No Mercy, I believe it was 2002. And then the next year, it was the cage match. And then the year after that, you have Brock Lesnar win in a biker chain match, and when Brock Lesnar won the Royal Rumble, he eliminated The Undertaker. So Brock Lesnar's already shown that he's The Undertaker's kryptonite. They should have booked it as if, I beat you at No Mercy. You know, I beat you twice before. You've never beat me in singles action, The Undertaker. They really should have built it as if Undertaker was the underdog, because from his match, you clearly saw that he was the underdog. He looked all dilapidated and decrepit, and he just looked decayed, and it was just kind of sad. And just to have all of that, just to have all that happen, him get beat up throughout so much of the match, just to have Lesnar win. Oh, my goodness. I mean, it's been over 2 months now, and there's absolutely nothing good that came out of that streak ending.
Nothing good came out of it. It still makes no sense. Probably one of the dumbest moves WWE has ever made. And again, to give it to Brock Lesnar, and like you said, the guy only wrestles 10 times a year, if that. He comes, he goes, he's gone. I mean, you haven't even heard or seen from him since.
No.
And there's nothing else to really say about it other than it was just a huge, gigantic flop. It kind of left a sour taste in my mouth for The Undertaker. I mean, no, I take that back, but I think you know what I mean as far as, you know, yeah, shut up. But
I know. It's
all absolutely horrible. And that's, you can't change that unless he's to come back, and he would have to kill Brock Lesnar to make up for it. So I don't see that happening.
Yeah, no. And I just, like I said, you know, I still have a horrible taste in my mouth for The Undertaker. And, I mean, his career wasn't WrestleMania. I mean, you know, of course, let's get that straight. But come on now. I mean, you know, people, I've seen people, and I've written articles about it. I've seen people say, you know, his career wasn't WrestleMania. But here's the thing. If there was no streak, really, how iconic would The Undertaker be if there was no streak? We have to really think about that. If there was no streak, The Undertaker would be, he would be a top guy. He would be a Hall of Famer. I mean, he still is a Hall of Famer regardless. But he would have been just a top guy. There would have been nothing that really set him apart from everyone else in the entire company. There would have been nothing. He would have been a top guy who still has the mystique to an extent, that still has, you know, the intimidating entrance and things like that. Yeah, okay, we all know that. All the, you know, the big theatric and very large and alive angles that he had, you know, back in the early 90s with Yokozuna and Kamala and the fake Undertaker and Giant Gonzalez. We get all that. I understand. King Kong, Bundy, Diesel. Okay, I get it. But here's the thing. If there was no streak, though, if there was no streak, there would be so many WrestleManias that would have been absolutely terrible, and there would have been so many other names that wouldn't have had that on their resume. Like, for instance, Randy Orton, he lost to The Undertaker. He was a part of the streak. I mean, you have people who were a part of the streak. That is a resume. That is a resume item, part of the streak. You have people like Albert A-Train. He's now Jason Albert commentating. Actually, he's doing a pretty good job with that. But you have A-Train, who was Intercontinental Champion, a hiccup, and really didn't have a huge WWE career. He was a part of the streak. Big Show, part of the streak. Mark Henry, part of the streak. Randy Orton, he ended up having a really good career. Still, part of the streak. Flair and Undertaker. Yeah, you have two big old names. You have two Hall of Fames, one Hall of Famer, one future Hall of Famer. You have WCW versus WWE. Wonderful match, but that streak made it so much better. You have Giant Gonzalez, you have Diesel, Bundy, all of those people. Yeah, having a match with Undertaker, yeah, it was decent. You know, it was good to decent, but the streak made it so much better. Now, The Undertaker never steps foot in the WWE. I'd be totally fine with it. Unless, you know, until he gets inducted in the Hall of Fame. This has nothing to do with him not being inducted in the Hall of Fame, because of course he should, but I'll be totally fine if he never steps from the WWE again. So I needed that. I needed that moment to exhale about the Undertaker streak 2 months later. And I am looking forward to writing an article about it and see if it's still affecting other people. As far as just there was absolutely no payoff, zero, none, no payoff. And the thing is, even if Brock Lesnar lost, he would have still came back at SummerSlam at the end of the year and became world champion. So absolutely no payoff. It was just absolutely horrible. Next we have Sheamus versus Bad News Barrett, a qualifier for the ladder match, which is now a WWE Championship ladder match. Very, very good match. They had the same match on previous show, and last week, and it was really, really good at that time too. But here's the only thing I don't agree with here is that you're pushing Bad News Barrett, and he's starting to lose a lot more recently as a mid-card champion. Now, I don't like that, though. He's starting to get over. I liked his Bad News Bear character a lot. I didn't know necessarily how to feel about it when it, you know, regarding with his character now. He was Intercontinental Champion as Wade Barrett, and I wasn't, you know, a big fan of it then, and they really messed up his character. Now I'm starting to feel like, okay, if you start having him, you know, put people over at this early stage in his Intercontinental Championship run and his new gimmick, I don't think that's a good idea. I like Sheamus. He's actually one of my favorite wrestlers. He's such a solid competitor. Really, really one of the most solid competitors that can really work with anyone. One of the few people that can do that entire company. But going against Barrett, I don't like it. I don't think it's a good idea.
Yeah, not really a good idea. And with Barrett losing, like you were saying, it just kind of takes the flavor out of your mouth and just doesn't – I mean, what are they going to do with this guy? I mean, he's got the belt. Make something of it. That's their problem. They don't know how to make something out of somebody that has the belt. I mean, they have the belt one day, they lose it. They may have it two or three more times. It doesn't have the same prestige. I mean, we're beating a dead horse. We've talked about this several times. It doesn't work. Sheamus, on the other hand, he's a solid performer, but he's been kind of stale. Even when after he came back, he's still the same Sheamus, same profile that he's been for the past two or three years. They don't know what to do with him. They can make great wrestling out of these two, but they choose not to for some reason. But yeah, Sheamus got the win last night, so again, he's a solid performer, and like you said, Barrett can do a lot more. I love his gimmick. His gimmick's great. It fits him. People react to it greatly. So let's put these guys a little farther forward than where they have been. I mean, let's do something. I mean, Bryan's on the side now. Daniel Bryan's going to be, you know, in limbo for a while. Let's build some more people. Forget RKO. We're tired of him. So.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Randy Orton is definitely someone who I don't want to see back in the main event picture, but he's going to be a default person, just like John Cena, which is my pick to win the championship, unfortunately. Next, we have Rusev defeating Zack Ryder. This is nothing new. Right now, they're building Rusev. To me, what I see with this is they're building up Rusev to feed him to Cena. This is what I see. And here's the thing. I don't like Rusev. I think that his character's horrible. But the only thing that I see has potential is for him to be fed to Cena, and that's what's horrible about it. And I really don't think that Rusev. I don't see him in a main event feud. I don't like what they're doing with Cena. I said on my show last week that I like the fact that they're kind of having new wrestlers go through the ropes with Cena. That's not a bad thing, but at the same time, if you're doing it just for the purposes of having Rusev lose, why are you building him up so much to have him lose to John Cena? Because that's what I see. I see that happening, that they're just going to build him up, and they're doing all this Russia Putin stuff and him winning and the flag coming down. And you're having all of that happen just to have Rusev be fed to Cena. And I can definitely see it. It's going to happen between now and the end of the year. They're going to get rid of this Wyatt feud because it led to nowhere. And at the end of the day, what we're going to see is we're going to see Rusev get fed to John Cena before the end of the year. I see it. Got a caller in the air. What do you think about that? What's your name and where you're from, and let me know your thoughts.
Hello?
Yes.
Hey, my name is Donnie.
You're live on the air. You said right. Donnie?
Yeah.
Hey, nice to meet you, Donnie. Cena, what are your thoughts?
Well, John Cena might be able to squat 800 pounds, deadlift a human, but it still seems like, at the end of the day, you just got to take a massive dump, you know? Like, he needs to sit down on the toilet and just shit.
All right. Well, that was John Cena's, that was his view of John Cena. Very interesting, Don. I have your phone number. How about that? We have the chat room also saying, this is a family show. You watch the language there. All right, so here's the thing. Interesting comments by the chat room over that. Very, very interesting comments on the chat room with that comment there. All right, so here's the thing. That was his view on John Cena, and I'm sure that a lot of other people feel that about John Cena as well, to be honest with you. I will keep restrictions on the show, but a lot of people do feel that about John Cena. That was a very comment based on someone I don't know who's a wrestling fan or not. But thank you for listening. How about that? 347-884-8452 was the number to call. And, yeah, so I definitely think that Rusev is going to be fed to Cena soon.
Yeah, Rusev's going to be fed to him. And it was kind of funny, they were showing the workout videos last night of Barack Obama.
Obama, and yeah, that was hilarious.
That was pretty funny to just compare him to Putin, and Putin was riding a horse or whatever. Yeah, that takes a big workout. But anyway,
yeah
Rusev, they don't know what to do with Rusev. We've said that before. John Cena's not going to put him over. There's no way. And if they do, it's going to be a fluke, and Cena's going to get his vengeance, and USA is going to prevail. I don't know if they're trying to bring in – doesn't work like it did back in the 80s with the Cold War. It's not it's been done two or three times at least. Or Zhukov and Nikolai Volkov and the Iron Sheik. So
yeah,
it's done. It's played out. John Cena is just there dancing around and doing whatever Vince wants him to do.
Yeah, Rusev could work as a top heel. The only thing that I have with Rusev though is that I don't see more from him than I do any other heel that they're trying to really groom as being the guy, the top heel. And I just don't see that happening. I just don't see that happening with Rusev at all. Not at all. Next we have Ryback, so defeating Goldust in R-Truth. This Goldust finding a partner thing is absolutely horrible. I don't understand why they would, and now they're going to bring someone in new next week of you've never seen them before, and all that crap. I definitely think what I see is that eventually they're just going to set up Goldust with the Cody Rhodes feud, and Goldust and Cody Rhodes, like I said last week, that boat has been long gone. It sailed away a long time ago, and I really don't understand why they're continuing to spend time on Cody Rhodes versus Goldust. Well, they could have easily won, had them had a second title run. Or two, had Cody Rhodes actually become somebody and be a big, be an upper mid-card star, have a U.S. title run or something, just feud with Bad News Barrett. That would be absolutely amazing. I would love a Cody Rhodes and Bad News Barrett feud for the Intercontinental title. But instead of just wasting their time with Cody Rhodes and Goldust, who cares at this point?
I care. I think a lot of people care. And I know it's silly what they're doing with them. I mean, again, they put them in limbo. I mean, WWE is notorious for limbo work. And either put the two back together or just keep them separate, whatever you want to do. Maybe, not the ruined flavor of the week, maybe Cody Rhodes would make a good Shield member. Huh? Never think of that.
Eh? right, we got the chat room flooded. We got people waiting online here. We got callers. Derek, or the chat room, whoever wants to answer. Well, like I said before, the chat room, if the chat room answers before Derek, it does not count for Derek. All right? So here's the thing. Derek, what team was Rick Martel a part of before Strikeforce? What team was Rick Martel? He's beat the chat room. He's beat Twitter. Tweet at Crave Wrestling. Again, you can either go in the chat room or tweet at Crave Wrestling the correct answer. Oh, see, I see K&M Connection in the chat room right now. They almost got you beat. Next question. Who were the new Blackjacks? Again, if the chat room beats you, Derek, it doesn't count. Who were the new Blackjacks? I think the chat room might beat you on this time. Ladies and gentlemen, I am pleased to bring in, and it says Wyndham and Bradshaw.
Bradshaw.
Nope. The chat room beat you. I'm glad to bring in, pleased to bring in one of the pioneers of Pancakes and Power Slams, Ryan Fuca. He's going to take us to the Ryan's Den and let us know his thoughts. What you got for us this week, sir?
That's right, Crave Wrestling. It was me. It was me all along. Yeah, little McMahon for you. No, so I was listening to the show as usual, and I heard our caller there give us his candid thoughts, and got me to thinking. I guess leave you guys with a couple questions. I'll just go through them first. One is, how do you think John Cena will be taken by the fans during his Hall of Fame acceptance speech? So we're talking, I don't know, a good long time from now, possibly 10, maybe even 15 years from now, depending on how long he goes. Two, do you think that they are overdoing the Rusev thing because they want to make him that new legitimate heel, since the new WWE style now is just to make cool heels, I feel. So I'm guessing I think that's what they're trying to do with Rusev, is just drill him into us so we're like, oh, he's boring. And then after a while, you know, you're like, man, I really hate this guy. Get out of here. At least I hope that's what they're doing. And you guys were talking about Cody. Last thing, not really a question, just a comment, really. When they combined the titles, I was really upset because I've always wanted to see Cody Rhodes win the World Heavyweight title more than I did the WWE title, just because of his, you know, knowledge and growing up in a WCW locker room. That always meant, I'm pretty sure that title means a little more to him. So I'll leave you guys with those. Cena's Hall of Fame speech, Rusev a real heel, and you know, Cody in the World Heavyweight title. So, we'll talk to you guys next week, and that's it for Ryan's Den.
Awesome. Thank you so much, as always. Ryan, step into the Ryan's Den there. I think those are fantastic, fantastic. We got some callers coming that I'm going to get on as well. Just hold tight. We've got a line of callers waiting here. 347-884-8452 was the number to call. And here's the thing. I think those are fantastic questions by Ryan. I think that for starters, I think that John Cena, I think that his first of all, his Hall of Fame speech is going to get a chorus of boos. I think that is pretty obvious that it's going to get a chorus of boos. However, I think that this is one thing that I cannot deny. I cannot deny, and a lot of people who've watched the show and listened to the show, 115 episodes, I think that John Cena is good on the mic. He gets cheesy. He has all of his moments, but I think that he has the ability to really, he has the ability to have the palm of the crowd in his hands by his mic work. He does it all the time. He does it all the time. He has the "Let's go Cena, Cena sucks" chants, and then he has the ability to generate a real cheap pop, and then he has the ability to get tons of heel heat. He has that ability. I think that his Hall of Fame speech would be the same thing. I think you'll have a bunch of people who are non-wrestlers who are a big chunk of the crowd during the Hall of Fames. You still have a lot of marks that are in the crowd. And I definitely think that it will have that type of "Let's go Cena, Cena sucks." But at the same time, I think that he will cut a really good Hall of Fame speech. As far as Rusev is concerned, I think that he's getting the Umaga treatment. You know, shout out to the late Umaga. But we even reported on wrestling.com that basically he is groomed to have the Umaga type of template, the Rusev having the Umaga type of template of being this monstrous, you know, heel. But as far as what does the end mean? What does really the end mean for that? And I really don't think that there's a really promising ending to this Umaga, this Rusev push at all. I don't see it, and I really see Rusev just being overexposed to the WWE universe, and eventually people just saying, the only thing that will save that would be for Rusev to win a mid-card title. That would be the only thing. I think if he feuds with Sheamus and him and Sheamus get a really good feud going on for the next couple of months, I think that has the potential to help with a Rusev push. I think so. Other than that, oversaturated, and he'll have a short shelf life.
Going through the John Cena, will he be accepted or whatever in the Hall of Fame, or what the speech will be? Everyone's going to love John Cena. I'm not a Cena fan. He's going to get reactions just like Stone Cold did and The Rock. Well, not The Rock so much, but Hulk Hogan. And just, he's not at their level, and he never will be, to people of my generation, but the younger generation who are kids growing up with John Cena. Let's go Cena. Cena sucks. They're going. Obviously, he's a shoe-in, and people are going to love it and accept it. And it's with him and the Usos and whatever. It's all relevant. But to answer the caller, yeah, John Cena, he's definitely going to have a run at the Hall of Fame, and everyone's going to love it and accept it. I might not. But again, 15 years from now, who knows what I'll be doing. I could be living on the moon at the time or still doing the show, which would be awesome.
Yeah, I why not have this show for 15 years from now? And I think Ryan brought a really, really good point up as far as Cody Rhodes is concerned. The funny thing, though, Ryan, is I was thinking about the same thing. I was thinking that same thing with Cody Rhodes becoming the World Heavyweight Championship, because of the prestige of that, winning that title, you know, just like his dad, Dusty, and just that type of WCW, NWA tradition that comes with the big gold belt. I really wish that he would have won. See, here's the thing. I really think that he could have won that Money in the Bank last year instead of Sandow, because Sandow really messed that up. I mean, he really, really, really messed that up, and he ended up losing that, which is absolutely ridiculous. The contract went nowhere, and the problem is that I think if Cody would have won, he would have actually somehow they would have pushed him to actually capture the championship. And nowadays, I mean, with the titles being merged, I don't see Cody coming close to a WWE World Heavyweight Championship now, if ever. I really don't see him coming I don't see him coming close at all.
No, especially there's no way Cody Rhodes would ever become anyway, I don't say ever, but he just doesn't have that caliber. He's got the name, yeah, and he's got the know-how. He's an awesome talent. He'll be at WWE for a long, long time if things go right. I mean, but Cody Rhodes is somebody that they can use. He's an awesome talent, like I just said. Let's not screw it up with this whole gold dust, whatever's going on between them, and I'm not good enough for you. And I mean, it's kind of stupid, and it's getting boring.
Yeah. All right, here's the thing. We're going to take another caller. Do be advised that we are screened and we have your information. So keep it family friendly. Caller, you're on the air. Let us know your name, where you're from, and let us know your thoughts.
How you doing? My name is Dwight. I'm from Trenton, New Jersey.
Hey, Blake. Nice. I appreciate you calling, man.
Thanks. Do you think it would help with Cena's image any if he let Cactus Jack fuck him in the ass with a cactus?
Yeah, exactly. Dwight, I have that information for you. People just don't understand that they want their little 2 minutes of fame. And like I said, people just don't listen. That I have the ability. This show, the studio has the ability to screen the names and the phone numbers, and I have your information. So how about that? That guy won't be getting a call. Won't be calling back anymore. So with that being said, with a very interesting show this week, the next question, Derek, is what was Harlem Heat's name in GWF? What was Harlem Heat's name in GWF?
It was Manhattan Heat.
Yeah, sure. Manhattan Heat. Again, the chat room or Twitter, what do you have? The Harlem Heat's name in the GWF. Harlem Heat's name in the GWF. Who do you got? Chat room. Chat room's filled up, and we gotta have a right answer. Oh, let's get to Raw here. We have again Ryback's defeating Goldust and R-Truth. Do you see anything coming from this feud? I think you kind of made your point, but I definitely don't think that Cole. We have Cole Twins in the chat room. No, Kane and Cole were their names. Kane and Cole were their names, but they were not the Cole Twins. All right, next we have 3MB cutting a promo in the ring, which I have no idea why that happened. But then it looks like they did it just to be fed to the Shield. And basically the Shield cut a promo. Now, I do want to spend some time real quick on this. Dean Ambrose finally had the opportunity to become himself, to be himself, the old John Moxley, the old NXT FCW Dean Ambrose, the old Indie CZ, Combat Zone, CZW John Moxley. I think that we finally saw, after all the moments that he's been with, affiliated with the WWE through FCW or NXT, I think we finally saw the public exposure of the John Moxley that you, Derek, used to wrestle with. And, you know firsthand as far as wrestling with him how Moxley is as far as his promos is concerned. He never had an opportunity. He never had an opportunity to really cut a really good promo of what people before he was Dean Ambrose knew him to do. And yesterday was spot on, fantastic. I totally was a big fan of this moment. This is a breakout moment for Ambrose. I really don't think it's going to lead to much because I think it's going to be fed to Rollins, which is very unfortunate. But I will say that Rollins, he held his own too. Reigns. We'll get to Rollins in a minute, but Roman Reigns, he held his own too. You know, a few weeks ago when we get on the mic, it would be really awkward. But I will say though, his cadence and just his mannerisms, I really think that he's getting much, much better on the mic. But Ambrose going first kind of hurt. kind of hurt Reigns a bit as far as his kind of very – he's new at the game when it comes to making good promos. He hasn't cut a real good promo yet, but you can tell that he's growing, and I like it. I like what I see. But Ambrose killed it totally, and I was a big fan of that segment.
Yeah, he really did kill it. I mean, he's given hints that he can talk. I mean, even back in the old days, he can talk on the mic. He has a very sinister kind of side to him that he can bring, almost like, I won't say Jake Roberts-esque, but...
Yeah, Roberts and Pillman.
Yeah, he has a very deep, you know, he can show his hatred, and he can show his disgust. He did an awesome job last night. Yeah, it did kind of ruin Reigns a bit, but, you know, the Shield's getting their point out that, you know, they're upset about the departure. I'm upset about the departure. I think just about everyone else is. What's it going to lead to? But, I mean, yeah, Ambrose killed it last night. Spot on. Good job. Former Moxley, Dean Ambrose, and I really want to see a lot come from him, not just on a personal level, but on a professional level. I mean, I think he's got a lot to give. Same thing with Reigns. Same thing with Rollins. They were an awesome team. And I think individually they can all have a great run at, you know, to have successful careers in wrestling. I mean, they're all very talented. But mic work, it seems like they're getting that down just as well. If it wasn't always there, the WWE's giving them a chance to expand to that horizon.
Yeah. This is a fantastic show. Again, look, we got a bunch of people in the chat room. We got people on Twitter right now. Again, the correct answer, or you can tweet at Crave Wrestling, the correct we're looking right now, the question right now is, the Harlem Heat was known as what in the GWF, the Global Wrestling Federation? What was the Harlem Heat known as? And I think I'm going to talk a little bit about Usos, and if people do not know, we got some incorrect answers. People are trying, though, at least. The Usos defeating Fandango and Damian Sandow, period. Santa, you will be reported, period. But Usos defeating Fandango and Damian Sandow, I think it's really, really, really cool that the Usos are getting a WWE title reign. But the funny part is that Damian Sandow is getting abused. It's absolutely horrible, and he is like getting abused like ridiculously. And I really think that. He just really is not seeing anything. I don't see anything going on for Damian Sandow, period. The ballerina outfit that he had, I just think it's just absolutely horrible. Great job, Ebony Experience. I see it. Great job, chat room, Ebony Experience. Yeah, so Damian Sandow, too bad for him. I don't see anything. I mean, you come from last year, winning the Money in the Bank, to now every week having some type of ridiculous gimmick, and this week he's some type of ballerina. It's horrible.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of when Perry Saturn had to do Moppy, and he came out in a dress a few times. And I don't know what they're trying to do to these guys. Yeah, with Moppy.
Moppy!
And Fandango deserves so much better. And not to ruin Flavor of the Week again, but he would make a great member of the Shield. Don't you agree?
We'll get there. Our Flavor of the Week here soon. Absolutely. Next, we have a question here. Scotty Flamingo later became known as what? Scotty
Raven.
Flamingo. Ooh. How about that, chat room? What do you got, Twitter chat room? What do you got? I think he we got Johnny Polo, actually, which is also true. He was also Johnny Polo, which great job, chat room. But Raven, he became popularized as Raven, but he did, after when he was Scotty Flamingo, he did become Johnny Polo, and I love this guy in the chat room. He's really, I like him. He's good with his trivia. We got a couple of people answering, but we got this one guy, this one person answering all the right answers. I think he's got you. I think he's got you, Derek. Let me ask both of you a question. The people who got it right. Okay, so Johnny Polo managed what? Managed who in the WWE? Who did Johnny Polo manage in the WWE? Derek, chat room, how about that?
Beverly Brothers?
No, he didn't manage the Beverly Brothers. We got answers in the chat room that aren't true either. Who did Johnny Polo manage in the WWE? Next, we have Bo Dallas versus Xavier Woods. I'm not into Bo Dallas. I definitely don't think his gimmick's going to last.
Bo Dallas ain't going to last at all. There's nothing about this guy that's interesting other than his Waylon Mercy tactics.
Yeah.
Of always wanting to shake his hand and help him up. So I don't see anything come from it, so I'm going to forget about it. But what happened to Adam Rose? There was no Adam Rose last night, was there? Did I blink and miss it?
Nope, no Adam Rose. He got busted up at a live event at a house show last weekend. He got busted up and had to get stitches. We got Adam Bomb as an answer. We got a few answers, but one being Adam Bomb. Nope, he didn't manage Adam Bomb. Harvey Whippleman managed Adam Bomb. Good try though. Cesaro defeating RVD, qualifying for the ladder match. See, I didn't like this idea because I think that Cesaro, I like the Cesaro one. I think he should have been in the match, but we needed that spot guy. We needed the Kofi Kingston, Justin Gabriel type of Tyson Kidd type of person in the Money in the Bank, Evan Bourne person in the Money in the Bank. And I definitely wish that Cesaro would have beat someone else, and then RVD would have beat someone, and then RVD should have been the match. I mean, here's the thing. I really think that neither RVD nor Cesaro are going to win the Money in the Bank. They're not going to win. They're not going to win the match. So I think that they needed RVD would have been a good element to the ladder match, and to have him lose. I mean, he's just losing left and right now, and they're really – he's not even getting the Chris Jericho treatment anymore. At least with Chris Jericho – yep, good job, the Quebecers. I see it on the chat room. Great job. Chat room's beating you up today, Derek. What's up with that?
The Quebecers, no one cares.
I definitely think that RVD should have had this. See, here's the thing. He's getting the Jericho. Like I said, he's not even getting the Jericho treatment, because at least with Jericho, he is getting – Jericho at least has a he at least has some – a build, before he loses. At least he gets a necessary build before he loses. I definitely think that nowadays RVD just gets plugged into a match and loses. And so what's the point of him even being there?
I don't think there is a point of him being there. And if RVD should have won that match. I mean, really, he outperformed Cesaro last night. Absolutely. In my opinion, RVD still has, he can go miles and miles around anybody. And what I loved last night was Jerry the King Lawler made a comment that Cesaro blocks Van Damme's punches with his face. I mean, Jerry Lawler, every now and then, will throw out a really good pun, and that was great. And, you know, both of them, you know, they're not going to win Money in the Bank. Cesaro, definitely not. RVD, definitely not. Which brings me to the point, would RVD make a good member of the Shield?
Absolutely not. No way.
Yeah,
I definitely don't think so, for sure. Next we have the Seth Rollins interview. Real quick on this. I mean, you have Seth Rollins really given – you had an opportunity for Seth Rollins to cut a promo and to really tell people why – he had an opportunity to why he made the decision that he did as far as making the heel turn, but the promo was just so blah. It flatlined to me. He's not a good natural heel. He's just not. He's like Jeff Hardy 2.0 to me. It just makes absolutely no sense for him to make the turn, but he made the turn, and now he has to cut a promo to make us absolute, to make us at least consider why the turn could have been decent. But the problem with that is the promo just did not deliver, and I was just I left that segment thinking, what? Basically, his explanation is they were business partners. That's absolutely hilarious. And I think it's ridiculous that he, out of all of the possible choices that he could have said to really give us a good cliffhanger or give us good the next good few weeks of this feud, his reasoning was they were business partners. I think it was absolutely ridiculous, and it did not help Seth Rollins' heel turn at all.
Nah, they have to do something with the Shield. They have to shake something up with that. I don't understand the reasoning behind it, and you see Seth Rollins backstage with a tie and jacket and looking all Triple H-esque. So is he going to be like a new member of the Shield? I mean, what's going on? Is he – not the Shield, I'm sorry. Evolution. I don't – if they do this right, then that's great. If they don't do it right, then it's just going to bury Rollins and just kind of make the Shield seem weak. So I want to kind of see how this plays out and make sure everything's kosher with it, and maybe this could be something that really turns the tide, but it doesn't. So far, it still seems kind of lame, especially if you have like Randy Orton involved or anything like that.
Yeah, totally. All right, next we have. Let's go. We've got someone in the chat room. Actually, I think he's 4-0. I think if I get a 5-0, I think I'm gonna give him a special shout out, man. I think that he's been beating you up today, Derek. Next question is, who is the grandfather of Curtis Axel? Who is the grandfather of Curtis Axel?
There are the accents.
Oh, nice. Good job. Oh, the person in chat room right after you. All right, here we go. Next question. How did the Legion of Doom come to the ring at SummerSlam 92? How about that? How did the Legion of Doom come to the ring at SummerSlam 92? here's a big moment. Oh, we got question marks and you don't know. The Legion of Doom. And I think that here's the thing. There's a difference because in WWE, there were the Legion of Doom. But in the WCW, NWA, I definitely think that, I mean, to me, they're my all-time favorite tag team. They're the Road Warriors to me, through and through, no matter where you are. But to clarify the answer, in WWE, they were known as the Legion of Doom. So the question is Legion of Doom related. All right, let's go to Paige versus Alicia Fox. This was just another moment of the Divas really trying to revive it. But like I said, I like Paige. I think she has a ton of potential. But continuing to feud with Alicia Fox, who's just a ridiculous case right now, I don't think that that's helping the Divas division at all.
No, how many times do you want to see this match? And I'm tired of it. I like to see Paige. But Alicia Fox just needs to go away, do something with her gimmick, go to TNA. I don't know what they're going to do with her, but Divas Division still. I mean, it's on an uprise. AJ hasn't been around for a while. You got Paige. Paige has really set a new bar for the Divas, breathe some life into it. But at the end of the day, you know, I'm tired of seeing this garbage.
See, that's why I really think we need someone like a Beth Phoenix to come back as a heel and feud against Paige. I think Beth Phoenix and Paige would be perfect as far as giving them an opportunity to really push Paige. And I think a good opportunity would be to push Paige with a big kind of large and in life kind of dominant person, and I think now I know that Beth Phoenix, you know, chose on her own to leave because she was getting poorly booked. I mean, it's without question, she was getting poorly booked. They were trying to push her against Karma, but she just kept losing to Layla the consecutive pay per views, which was absolutely horrible, but no answer yet. They rode the motorcycles. Remember that they rode their motorcycles with the doll on the top when Paul Ellering came down and rode the motorcycles with the Legion of Doom. I surprise you guys did not remember that.
Well, some of these guys don't know how to spell in the chat room, so we'll just
They went against Money Inc. And that was SummerSlam 92. All right, let's see here. We have another question. What was the West Texas Rednecks theme song called? What was the West Texas Rednecks theme song called? It was not. Next, we have Jack Swagger against Santino. This doesn't really do much for Jack Swagger. There's absolutely no point whatsoever. They're really trying. Oh, here you go. Great job. The Danimal. Absolutely. He gets the Danimal gets a shout out from the chat room. 5 trivia questions answered, so you get your shout out. Good job. Great job. All right, so as far as Jack Swagger is concerned, real quick, I definitely think the Swagger's just going to be a mid-carder. There's nothing left for him, and it makes absolutely no sense.
Man, Swagger needs to find a new partner or go away. I don't think he's going to find a new partner. Americans, it's garbage.
Totally. Main event being Roman Reigns, Ambrose, and Cena defeating the Wyatt family. Now, I don't necessarily know why they would do this at the expense of the Wyatt family. You're pushing. See, this goes to show how much they are not pushing, or are they just this Bray Wyatt John Cena feud meant absolutely nothing, because at the end of the day, John Cena comes in, tags up with Reigns and Ambrose, and the Shield had had a difficult job beating the Wyatt family over the months within the year. But Cena just comes in and boom, they defeat the Wyatt family. So this really proves how much that Cena and Bray Wyatt feud really meant. It meant absolutely nothing. It really, really proved it.
The Wyatts have meant nothing since they came into the WWE. They have the gimmick behind them. They have nothing in ring. They have no good feuds. Everything's saturated and water.
Yeah. Real quick, we have the flavor of the week, a random discussion topic we have every week. Just real quick, we're going to name five people that we don't have a lot of time for this week as far as going in-depth. So we'll go into it next week if need be. Five wrestlers that are mid-carders that we just see that may have some potential to be a member of the Shield. Now, I'm going to let you go first, Derek.
A good member of the Shield. Like I said, I mentioned earlier, I think Cody Rhodes would fit in. He'd fit in well as far as his, how he's feeling lately and that he needs something better, or Goldust needs something better, so he could go to the Shield and just be kind of just somebody that the Shield can rely and retaliate with, and I think that would work. I think it would work out pretty good.
All right, I'll do my five real quick. Ziggler, because I think Ziggler could be a decent fit. Jack Swagger, he's doing nothing now. He needs a face run. He has the look. He has the build. He can be intimidating, but he loses all the time. Big E, I think Big E could be a good member of the Shield if booked right. And I definitely believe that Justin Gabriel would be a good member of the Shield, just because we haven't seen much of Justin Gabriel, and I definitely think that he has the potential to kind of replace the Seth Rollins character as far as the high flyer. They have similar builds. They have similar wrestling styles, so I definitely think that would have been great. And finally, where in the world is JTG? I think that I would like JTG in riot gear. I definitely think that he has the ability to become a member of the Shield. It would totally revamp and just reinvent his entire character. He's been off the air for long enough to have that type of surprise. Now, granted, these are really far stretched, but I definitely think that JTG in riot gear has the ability to kind of reinvent his character if they give him a chance to be a part of the Shield. Bottom line, JTG needs to do something. Why is he still on the roster? They're releasing some really good names from the from NXT, and they just released Ezekiel Jackson. But two people like JTG and Evan Bourne, those are two good wrestlers, really, really good wrestlers, but they have nothing to do with them. So, ladies and gentlemen, it has been a crazy, crazy show. But episode number 115, we are here every week. 347-884-8452 is the number put in your back pocket. I'm going to have my administrative team step their game up. But until next week, thank you all for participating. Thank you all for being a part of the show. And until next week, enjoy Eureka Wrestling. Have a great week. God bless. Day loves Elijah. And we will be here next week ready to talk wrestling. Again, God bless. Have a great week. Bye-bye.